So glad you joined us today at Grace Community. My name's Doug Clark. I probably should have said that earlier. If you've not met me before, I'd love to meet you after the service, but we're glad that you're here with us today. We're in a series on the Ten Commandments, and we've titled that series in relationship to a book by Jen Wilkin, The Ten Words to Live By. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, because that's our command for the day. We spoke earlier about taking no other names, not making any other gods before God. We spoke about the fact that we're not supposed to put any other gods before God, and now we're going to talk about his name. Here's what he says about that particular issue. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God takes this whole thing seriously, and we'll get to why that's true. It's interesting when you read Scripture, you probably ought to be asking questions about what the Scripture's saying. Not just what the Scripture's saying, but what the Scripture's actually saying to you. What God intends the Scripture to do in your life. How it's supposed to move you. So you ought to be asking the question. And actually, Brittany put it forth to her son, Barron, just a little bit ago. Would you obey God's call on your life? And the question I guess we have to ask ourselves in this any time we read the Scripture is, what is this passage of Scripture, what is this verse, or what is this group of verses actually calling me to as a Christian? And if I had to answer that question in relationship to this particular passage, I think what I would say is that we are called to live as if God's name and everything that it implies and signifies actually matters to us. I want to ask you a question. Does everything about God's name and what it actually implies and signifies for us, does it really make a difference in what you think, how you act, what you say, maybe what you're motivated by? Because this is the passage that says God's name and everything that it signifies should actually make a difference to you. Now let's unpack that just a little bit, I think, to get to the bottom of it. First, we have to begin with this whole concept of what a name is. I shared with you the name of Grace Community Church, and I shared with you my name specifically because it's good to be able to identify. Names identify someone. But names do more than that, don't they? They also begin to embody somebody and kind of help you explain who somebody is or give you a context for who somebody is. For example, if you went to my and were a part of my friend group in college, you would know that if somebody said the word Ben, the name Ben, people would almost immediately think of this good-natured, kind, fun, and humorous guy who was also incredibly driven. That was Ben. If you said the word Mike, you would think of this kind of childlike, a little bit immature, very chaotic, nice guy, but just a total mess. Maybe you had people like that in your life. Maybe you actually are somebody like that. Actually, we probably all are somebody like that at some level. But that's what, because you would know, that's who Mike was. If you said the name Surfside, Florida, you would now know particularly. This name has now become more than just identifying a place on a map. It's now identified the place where the condominium kind of collapsed, not just kind of, completely collapsed, and at least 150 people are likely to have lost their lives. We will know the name Surfside, Florida because of the nature of what happened in Surfside, Florida. Isn't that right? If you think about this, it also kind of spreads, maybe ubiquitously, but also synonymously, these names that have affected history and culture. For example, If you drove down the street and looked over at a house and your passenger said, that house looks Victorian, you would likely have a sense that that is what they're talking about, is this kind of formalized look that happened in the 19th century in Great Britain underneath the ruling of Queen Victoria, right? You would get that. If somebody said to you, that took Herculean effort, you would understand that required some feat of great strength to accomplish. If somebody said to you, he's a real Benedict Arnold, what would you think? That he was a traitor, that he betrayed people. And that you understand that because of names become synonymous with character and nature. And in fact, some names actually speak to the nature and character of the person. That can be no more true when you think about the name of God. When you think about the name of God, you got to go back to Moses, right? Moses standing shoeless is the way Exodus chapter 3 tells us, shoeless before this burning bush because he was on holy ground. And he was hearing the voice of God, the instruction of God. And God was telling him, I'm sending you to deliver my people, the Israelites, from Egypt. And Moses is coming up with every excuse for why he didn't want to do it. And finally, in exasperation, he says, God, listen, what if they ask me, who sent me? What am I supposed to say? And the Lord God reveals to Moses his name. He says, you tell him this, I am sent you. Now, I don't quite understand that in totality, right? Because really what he said was the be verb, you know, to be, is, was, were, sent me. What? But then you begin to think about that a little bit. The whole concept of what he was saying and who God was claiming and who God was telling the people that he was, eternally existent, is, was, has been, will be, all of that together. A person who had no beginning and has no end. He wasn't becoming something. He already was fully and completely the thing that he was. Self-sufficient, self-existent. No need for anyone or anything outside of himself. Last week we had Brian and Robin Wallace on the stage, some of our missionaries, and I was asking them the question about what was it like kind of ministering in Ecuador during the COVID thing. And one of the things Robin said, she said, was, I learned again, she said, that God, while he'll use me, certainly doesn't need me, right? Amen. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. I mean, it's inconsequential in the sense that who I am as a person really matters. I mean, it matters to God, yes. But here's the thing. If I die today, there'll be a few of you. Can I get a show of hands who would be sad? There'll be a few of you who will be sad. But they'll pretty much pack up my office and hire somebody else and we'll go on, right? Because if I die, things keep going. And if you die, things keep going. God doesn't need us. He's self-existent. That's who he is. He's the eternal one. And here's the thing about his name. His name is not just his name. It also encompasses and signifies everything about who he is. Right? And so, if it encompasses and signifies everything about who he is, how we treat that name and what we do with our lives in relationship to that name really matters. Yes. And the Ten Commandments, the third commandment, not the tenth commandment, the third commandment says that we ought to take that name and not treat it as if it's in vain. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to treat something in vain? Well, you know, I kind of grew up in my church experience. What did you think when we weren't supposed to take the name of the Lord in vain? Here's what I thought it meant, that when you hit your finger with a hammer, you weren't supposed to say, Jesus Christ. Or you weren't supposed to say, when really frustrated, oh my God. I mean, I don't think you should say that. I think that is treating the name of the Lord in the wrong way. But here's the word. Here's the meaning of that word vain. It means meaningless. It means without value. It means inconsequential. It means unsubstantive. It doesn't have any substance to it. It's like nothing matters. It doesn't make any difference to you. It's like when you see a penny on the ground at the gas station. Very few of us anymore will pick up that penny. Why? Because it in some way, all we have to do with it is put it in our console in the middle of our car because we don't know what else to do with it. It doesn't have much meaning. It's like a speed limit sign. It's inconsequential to many of you, right? Or the expiration date on a Cheeto. I don't even know if that's actually true. I think that actually there is no expiration date on a Cheeto. Two things live forever, God and Cheetos, right? Don't eat Cheetos. Anyway. Or the inconsequential nature that you treat somebody like a service person who you've just lambasted their feelings. Inconsequential. They're meaningless. You get that sense. And here's what the Ten Commandments are saying. The name of God and everything that it applies for your life, you cannot treat as if it doesn't matter. Amen. Right? You can't. And so what goes on, what we have to determine is, then what does it look like to not treat God's name as if it doesn't matter? Let's use a double negative there. What does it look like for you and me to actually treat God's name like it matters to us? I mean, there are so many things in relationship to that. You can make your way through Scripture and you can find so many places that talk about how the name of God and what we ought to do with the name of God and how it reflects and means, what it means for our life. And it's not about legalism. We are saved. I mean, Barron and Zoe, who have both come to Christ recently, Barron and Zoe, young kids who've trusted Christ as their Savior, it's not anything that they did, right? I mean, it's not a work that brought them into a relationship with Jesus. It's the death and resurrection and their faith in that of Jesus Christ. So this is not about earning our way. This is about who we are as followers of Christ and how we ought to live. And one of those prohibitions, one of those things that we ought to be doing and not doing, there are some things that we should do and some things that we shouldn't do. But let's begin with just a few that God says you shouldn't do this in relationship to God's name. You shouldn't. In Leviticus 24:16, you shouldn't blaspheme the name of the Lord. You shouldn't declare that God doesn't matter or speak contempt against God. Like it's not a big deal. The word blaspheme actually means to strike through or to curse, to treat like God doesn't exist or to speak in a way that is a cursing or a downgrading of who God is. That's what blasphemy is. In Leviticus 19:12, it says, don't swear by the Lord. Don't say, I swear to God, that really happened. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 makes a little bit more to this. He says, again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more comes from evil. What does that even mean? Here's what it means. We ought to live lives such that we have the integrity to not have to call down the name of God to prove the fact that we're speaking the truth. I mean, if I'm treating the name of God as meaningless, I am saying anything I want to anybody else to protect myself or to make a way or to exaggerate so I tell a better story. I lie so that things look better for me. And if I'm lying to make things better for me, what am I doing? I am making the name of the Lord meaningless in my life. Like everything that God is doesn't even matter to me. Those are some of the things that meaninglessness is about. I mean, it's this opportunity for us to know that God and his name are to be worshiped and hallowed. That's really, there are some things that we shouldn't do. Like we ought not to treat God's name in a way that is worthless in relationship to how we minister and sacrifice to him. Look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 11 real quick. I love this passage. From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Now here's kind of, you got to really follow the next two verses. They get a little freaky. But you profane it, the name, when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food may be despised. Now, keep going. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You being what has been taken by violence, or you bring, it should be bring, not being. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord. Let me just give you a sense of what that passage is saying. There were people in Malachi's day who were taking by force a sheep who were either taking a sheep that was given to them, that cost them nothing, or were taking a sheep that was worthless because it was sick and about to die, and they were offering that as this great sacrifice to God. And what Malachi is saying, when you take an offering to God and it doesn't mean anything to you, then you're treating his name like it means nothing. When you offer a sacrifice of any kind to God that is not really a sacrifice, treating it like it is in fact a sacrifice, then you are just saying, God, I don't really care about who you are. Don't do that, he says. Don't take a sacrifice that's meaningless because it's not a sacrifice and act like it is. But what are some things that we are supposed to do? I mean, as we come down to the conclusion here, let me just give you a few other things that pop out. First of all, Matthew 6:9 says you ought to hallow the name of God. You ought to revere the name of God. It's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want your name to be revered. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is Isaiah 26:8 that says, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your law, I wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desires of my heart. Everything about who you are. I want to make your name the greatest. I want to revere your name in my own heart, but I also want your name to be revered in the hearts and lives of people all around the world. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be seeking after. And if we take the name of God seriously and we don't make it meaningless, then that's the kind of person we become. Someone who wants to make God's name known and revered among the nations. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 19, here's what Daniel prays to the Lord, and the nation of Israel is hearing this prayer. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. Oh my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. What is Daniel's saying to the people? He's saying, listen, you know, God stamped his name on you as a people. He stamped his name on you as a city. And that's true for the nation of Israel, and that's true for the church. He has stamped his name on you. And he has become this one. We've become these ones now who bear his image to the world, right? We bear his love and his mercy and his justice and his compassion. We bear everything about who he is as we respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, as we live in according to the Spirit of God and not according to the flesh, as we abide in Jesus Christ and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control become evident in our life. I mean, we're supposed to be these people because we believe that God's name is so astoundingly great that we should be bearing the image of God to the world. A name. I mean, it identifies us, yes. But in God's case, it also signifies and speaks to everything that he is. So my question is this. Does the Word of God, does the name of God, and everything that it implies matter to the way you think, to the way you speak, and to the way you live? I mean, one of the things that we have up in our office over at the office is a poster that says this: live in such a way that demands a gospel explanation. I love that, because that's talking about how our lives are supposed to be so different that the only answer is that we're bearing the image of God to the world. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. It's so much deeper than just not saying his name incorrectly. The Jews believed that it meant that they shouldn't even speak the word Yahweh. That's not anything to do with this. It's about how you live and whether or not the name of God really matters to you. Let's pray. God, thank you for our time together today as we hear your word, as we sing songs of praise to you, as we celebrate new lives in Jesus. God, what a great day to be reminded of your love for us and the movement of the Holy Spirit in the world. God, we pray that you would help transform us so that our lives too and totally reflect the name of God to the world. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.